Welcome to the Point Forward podcast with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinels, J.R. Radcliffe and Jim Ozarski, an over-caffeinated Milwaukee Bucks conversation.
The Point Forward podcast, Milwaukee Bucks chatter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We have a new member of the Milwaukee Bucks. The 2022 NBA draft was the night of June 23rd, Thursday night, and Marjon Beauchamp. We gotta learn a little about him because I'm guessing most people don't know a lot about him, myself included. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the show, and on the other line, it's not Jim Ozarski. It's my main man, Ben Steele. We haven't had Ben Steele. You and I have not had a podcast chat in quite some time, dating back a couple of years, I think, to a Marquette NCAA tournament. It was a game. It was against Ja Morant. Like,
definitely not a run.
Definitely not a run. But how have you been, Ben Steele?
I'm good, man. Like any basketball coach will tell you, you got to stay ready so you don't have to get ready. So I'm ready to strip off the warm-ups. I'm always loose and limber, ready to get in the game and be a high-volume shooter. Just put up shots. So just put me in, coach.
Tearaway pants and the whole getup. It's really quite spectacular. Ben Steele, for those who do not know, is the utility man extraordinaire for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Covers some Bucks. Covers some golf. You've been all over the map, my man. Hockey's been on your docket.
Yeah.
Auto racing. Of course, most people will know him as the beat reporter for the Marquette Golden Eagles. So we will talk a little bit about Justin Lewis, who went undrafted, as well as some other players who are not necessarily in the Bucks orbit. But I got to start with the Bucks. That's what the show is about. And they selected Marjon Beauchamp with the 24th pick of the draft. They keep their pick. There was some chatter that they were involved in movement. John Horst even indicated that they were looking to trade up, but with the goal of getting this very player who comes out of the G League Impact. So fans of college basketball won't know this name. A lot of people won't know this name. So right off the top, like, what have you learned about Marjon Beauchamp? What does he do well? Where does he fit? I mean, just give me the Ben Steele scouting report on the Bucks' first round pick here in 2022.
Yeah, it's funny. I first heard of Marjon Beauchamp a couple years ago. Marquette actually offered him a scholarship. This was probably 2019, I would say. Very interesting backstory with him. He's bounced around a lot. I think he went to three different high schools, which not unusual these days, but still. I think that's where he came under got on the radar of Marquette during his stop in Arizona. Marquette's obviously had some recruiting success in Arizona. Their previous coaching staff had some connections out there. So I think that's how he got on the radar of Marquette. I don't think it ever progressed past off scholarship offer and never visited here or anything, but that's just how I remember hearing his name. He's got a very distinctive name, so it always kind of stuck in my head a little bit. He's kind of really just one of the most fascinating stories of any of these draft prospects. Bounced around high schools, like I said, and then wasn't going to go to college at all. He kind of chose to work out at a training facility in California for a year before he could officially enter the NBA draft. This was 2020, so then the pandemic happened, and then he couldn't do that, so he's kind of just stuck in no man's land, really, in basketball terms. And decided to go back to junior college. He's from originally in the Seattle area, so he went back to a junior college, Yakima Junior College, the Yaks, for those that are unfamiliar with the
yes,
junior college term. Yeah, your teams. And he was, obviously really good player, really stood out at the junior college level. And I think at one point, he was so discouraged about not seeing what the future is in basketball, he was going to give up the sport completely, but reignited his passion there at the junior college. And then, the G League Ignite program had gotten off the ground a couple years ago, so that became an option for him. And he got that route and got in some professional coaching and the NBA's developmental team. That's the G League Ignite, for those listeners unfamiliar. Play against G League teams, but it's a team mostly made up of guys who just graduated high school who'd usually be in college and could choose this route as their developmental path. And he kind of, I think he got on the radar of NBA teams as far as his pro prospects of being a kind of guy that can do the dirty work on the defensive end, not afraid of getting into ball handlers as a guarding the ball. He's 6'6", but I think he's got a 7'1" wingspan, so he's kind of got that physical profile of a defensive stopper. I think that's what really attracted the Bucks to him. John Horst and Milt Newton in the Bucks front office, they spoke last night after the draft, and that was definitely what stood out to them, why they liked him so much. I think he's still a work in progress, sounds like, on the offensive end. I've watched a couple Ignite games, so I'm not going to pretend like I'm an expert on his game, but the Bucks seem to think that his shooting mechanics are sound and he's going to come a long ways on that end, but he's definitely going to get his foot in the door as far as playing time with the Bucks on the defensive end. And you saw in the playoffs, that's what kind of the Bucks needed, especially after Chris Middleton went down. They needed more defensive help on the wings. I'm not sure if Marjon Beauchamp's going to be the guy he's going to be ready next year to step in right away, but he definitely profiles as the kind of guy that can play that role.
Yeah, it's interesting because the Bucks haven't had a first round pick of their own since 2018. So Bucks fans aren't used to like having a player like this on the roster, a guy who is a prospect, but also with some pretty, you know, some high regard upside. You know, it was DJ Wilson and Dante DiVincenzo most recently, one of which I would say worked out more than the other. But it's just weird, like trying to get a vibe for what contribution he will have for the next Bucks team. You know, it feels like you said, he's not going to start on day one or anything like that. Yeah. He's probably not even going to get big minutes in big games or playoffs or anything of that nature yet. But it does feel like he maybe is kind of the type of thing that they were looking for. I mean, does it come off to you like this is a guy that is drafted specifically as a project that 3 years from now is going to be when they can finally start realizing if he is going to be his best self, or does he seem to you to be a guy that, like, yeah, I mean, obviously the long term is the goal, but he also will be called upon at times this season to be some sort of difference maker on the defensive end.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, With the Bucks roster the way it is, I mean, they don't need him to come in and be an offensive guy at all. The only way he's going to get on the court is to be that defensive guy, and that's where Marjon Beauchamp is at his best. So he could definitely jump in the case of emergency next year, play off the ball and guard wings, and maybe be, you know, 6'6". He could probably switch off to two or three different positions depending on the team they're playing. So, yeah, I mean, definitely long-term project, more of an all-around guy, immediate next couple years, defensive stopper, play to his strengths a little bit. So it's very interesting. It's going to be interesting how it plays out next year for sure. Yeah, the Bucks seem really high on, like you mentioned, like they were trying to trade up when they realized that he was going to be available within their little range there at the end of the first round. And they seem to be very, very high on him personally. After all his kind of ups and downs and his journey to get to this point, they seem very, very high on his emotional makeup, if you will.
Sticking with the Bucks, they do acquire the draft rights to the last guy in the draft, Hugo Bisson. I don't know if he'll go by Hugo, but you're a French speaking ish sort of guy, so you know it'd be Hugo Bisson.
Hugo Bisson,
love it. He's from France. played in New Zealand, and they acquired his draft rights from Indiana. So I don't know if you have any sense, probably not yet, of how he might be used. You know, the Bucks did they did draft Mamu last year and used him as one of their two-way players, and then they had Georgios I've already forgotten how to say his last name, Kelzagis, and he was not here very long. So I don't know if you have a sense of what the Bucks expect. That's, you know, we're getting into the late second round. That's just lottery ticket time. But do you have any impression there?
It seems like he's just going to be a stash in Europe, keep playing in Europe over there and develop over there, and then bring him over here to the States if necessary. I saw him play at the NBA Combine in the 5-on-5 action, and Hugo Bisson did not seem ready to contribute at all at the NBA level. maybe it's not fair to judge him after, you know, 20 minutes, seeing him for 20 minutes in a glorified pickup game. So I don't want to cast harsh judgment on him, but he's definitely doesn't seem like he's going to be helping the Bucks anytime soon.
Yeah, that's that would be, I think, probably everybody's assumption there. All right, so the Bucks have a new guy on their squad. Give me your sense, Ben, because we haven't talked about the Bucks much on this podcast. What you think they need to do next? Like, what do you envision are the next couple moves that they're going to make as we drift in, you know, deeper into the offseason, if there's a move to be made? You know, there's buzz now that the Brooklyn Stars, Durant and Irving are looking elsewhere. That could throw some things into chaos. How do the Bucks proceed from here, do you imagine?
Well, they already made one big step of their offseason when Pat Connaughton opted in to his player option next season. That was the big key pieces of the Bucks summer. The next one, obviously, is Bobby Portis. See what he's going to do. Milwaukee fans know that the fan favorite is definitely a key piece of what the Bucks are trying to do, especially last year when Brook Lopez went out for most of the regular season. Bobby Portis showed how big of an important piece he is. So figuring out his contract is the next situation. After that, just from the playoffs last year, finding that role wing player off the bench, and that's where the drafting of Marjan Beauchamp comes in there. After that, I don't know how much flexibility they have in trading or upgrading the Grayson Allen, George Hill positions. So Marjan Beauchamp might be the only option there, but definitely Bobby Portis. That's the next domino to pay attention to.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are feeling pretty good about Bobby Portis coming back. I personally would not have been in that camp going into the offseason. I feel like there's a lot of money to be made somewhere else for that man who has put in the work to improve himself.
Yeah,
but like I said on the last podcast, he's a young man. He's younger than Giannis. Like, there's still a chance that we haven't seen the finished product, Bobby Portis. There's a chance he's going to get even better, let alone, you know, he's already been contributing pretty significantly. And who knows, you know, maybe the Bucks, you know, this love affair between Portis and Milwaukee continues. And I don't know, man. It's surprising to me. The Connaughton thing, did that surprise you at all? That was a little up in the air. It wasn't clear what Pat Connaughton was going to do.
I did. I thought that he could definitely have, on the open market, kind of snatched a bigger contract than what that player option was like $5 million or something next year, or $6 million. Yeah. I don't remember off the top of my head, but it seems like he definitely could have got like a 3-year contract at a bigger number, but maybe he's got his real estate thing going here and he's making money doing that. And maybe, you know, got a little discount. Bucks got a little discount there.
Yeah. Pat Connaughton, interesting journey with his contract situation. Like when they re-signed him and had to add the third year, not a popular decision. Didn't seem like it made a lot of sense. The man's delivered. Like, he's delivered when called upon. It's
And now it seemed like that was a really good value they got out of that contract. And now it's still paying off.
Yeah, for sure. It is. It is indeed. Okay. So let's go elsewhere to other spots of the draft. There was a lot of Wisconsin going on in this draft. Some guys taken, some not. Mm-hmm. In the first round, it's the second time in 4 years we've had two Wisconsin high school products selected in the first round. Very different situations. One is Johnny Davis from La Crosse. And of course, most people know him from the University of Wisconsin, taken 10th overall by the Washington Wizards. Extremely meteoric rise for this guy, who was a nice role player off the bench. I don't want to say role player. He was a nice player, but he was off the bench as a freshman. And then as a sophomore, became Big Ten Player of the Year. Immediately increased his stock to the point that he was a National Player of the Year contender, became a lottery pick, and he's taken in the top 10. I believe that's only the fourth top 10 University of Wisconsin player drafted since like 1950 or something. It's ridiculous. First since Frank Kaminsky in 2015. And then you have Patrick Baldwin Jr. Super interesting story, I think, and just real enigma at 28 going to the reigning champs, Golden State Warriors. We'll start with the easy one. Johnny Davis, 10th overall, Washington. I'm not going to pretend like I know a ton about Washington, how he would fit necessarily with the Wizards, but you know, anytime you go top 10, you're gonna be making an impact, and I got to think that that we're going to see a fair amount of Johnny Davis next year.
Yeah, I think Washington's just one of those teams where they just need any infusion of talent whatsoever. And it seems like Johnny Davis is going to be playing a lot next season, especially the Wizards. They're not quite sure what they're going to do with the Bradley Beal situation, where they're going to trade him or if they're going to sign him to a long-term extension, and then even maybe trade him after he signs a long-term extension. Typical NBA situation there. But Johnny Davis, you know, I was reading a little bit about what the Wizards front office was saying about him after they drafted him yesterday. They definitely like him as that two-way player that they showed, that he showed at Wisconsin last year. Big game player, seemed to have his best games against the best teams on Wisconsin's schedule last year. Big games against Purdue and Iowa. I think he averaged 20 points per game in the Big Ten season as a 19-year-old, which is pretty impressive. No-nonsense kind of guy. Seems like a guy that's going to be over a decade-long career in the NBA just with his versatility and skill set. I don't know if he'll ever make the All-Star level, but, I mean, it's definitely going to be a solid pro, I think.
Yeah, and certainly he'll have a chance. You know, he's going to have an opportunity to show what he's got. Wisconsin's had some great success in the first round. Jalen Johnson was taken last year. We haven't really seen what he can do yet, but Tyrese Halliburton in 2020, of course, is one of the brightest young players in the game. In 2019, you had Tyler Hero and Jordan Poole. That's the reigning NBA Sixth Man of the Year. And Jordan Poole, who took a star turn in these playoffs. I know you know a lot about him. So that's just some great recent success. Kevon Looney back in 2015 after Sam mm-hmm. Decker. I mean, there's some pretty cool stuff for Wisconsin guys. Patrick Baldwin Jr., one of the most unique situations in this draft. He's a guy that we really don't have a lot of data on, unless we go back to like his junior year of high school, the year that was ultimately cut short by COVID. You know, he missed most of his senior year at Hamilton in Sussex. He goes to UWM, shocks everybody, although he's playing for his dad, so kind of stays at home, and then doesn't really do much at UWM, either because of injury or just sort of general ineffectiveness. He tested very poorly, like, which that part really threw me, because I was thinking he's projected mostly on his great athleticism and his great overall game, and then his testing is so bad. So then it's like, I had no idea if he'd come back to school, go to a different program, stay in the draft, if he was even going to be a first round guy, if he might still creep up toward the lottery. Like, it was a complete, it was very opaque. And then he goes to Golden State, which is a phenomenal situation, because now he can, you know, grow and with one of the best programs and, you know, best teams in the NBA. What do you think about PBJ? You've been following him a lot. You've kind of gotten to know him. I mean, what's sort of the, yeah, just like give me your rundown of where you see him right now.
Yeah, I kind of figured someone would take him at the end of the first round, just being 6'10", measured at 6'10", and really beautiful shot. Although his shooting numbers were terrible at UWM, but, you know, the context in that with the ankle injury and playing with not great teammates and bad spacing, and the whole opposing defensive scheme was to crowd him. So a little bit of context to his struggles there at UWM. So I figured somebody would take him just purely based on that. End of the first round, you know, you're rolling the dice mostly on anybody you're taking there. But wow, what a perfect situation to fall into there with the Golden State Warriors, the reigning NBA champs. No pressure to play whatsoever in the next, you know, probably two years at least. So he can go there, rehab his ankle. You know, remember early in Steph Curry's career that he was plagued by ankle injuries. You know, it didn't seem like his career would ever take off. But so maybe PBJ can get some tips from the training staff there and Steph Curry on rehabbing that ankle, and then he can play in the G League with the Santa Cruz Warriors, get some playing time there, get shooting tips from, you know, two of the greatest shooters of all time, and Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. Kind of fits their motion offense and really cerebral read and react kind of offense that the Warriors play. The big question with PBJ is just, like you mentioned, his athletic testing. That, I mean, who does he guard at the NBA level? Like, he's not quick enough to guard any threes. Definitely not strong enough yet to guard any fours. So that's where he's going to have to work on the most. But like I said, there's no pressure to play right away, so it's just a perfect situation for him to develop there with that organizational structure that they have. And now they're Milwaukee's team, JR.
Oh my gosh.
They got so many Milwaukee guys on that team. Juan Toscano-Anderson, I know he's his contract situation's up in the air now, but former Marquette guys there, and Jordan Poole and Kevon Looney. They're Milwaukee's number two team.
Yeah, absolutely, and that was noted heavily by us at JSOnline.com when they won the title. So much Wisconsin on that team. Jordan Poole, like I said, taking that star turn. Kevon Looney has three rings. I mean, that's incredible. The guy from Milwaukee, great. Hamilton. I remember him playing as a high profile freshman or sophomore. I saw him St. John's Northwestern Military Academy in that airplane hangar, that wonderful historic gym. It was the first time I saw him play, and now he's got three rings doing the dirty work and starting for Golden State. So yeah, you mentioned Juan Toscano-Anderson, the Marquette connection, of course. So let's talk about another Marquette connection. This is your wheelhouse, talking about Justin Lewis. And this is a guy who was not drafted and easily could have been drafted. And quite honestly, I am a little thrown that he wasn't drafted in the second round. I mean, he was definitely took a step forward for Marquette this year. I feel like there's still another big leap in him. Like, you know, similar to Johnny Davis. Like, you could see this guy, whether it be at Marquette, whether it be in the G League or wherever, just truly going one more big leap forward. You wrote that he supposedly is about to sign a two-way contract with the Chicago Bulls. So a two-way contract for an undrafted guy, that's not a bad situation. There's a lot of draft picks getting two ways, so that's a good spot. What do you think about this? I mean, I know Marquette fans will be a little disappointed to see a guy leave early and then not get drafted, but it does feel like that's kind of landing on his feet, right?
Yeah, for sure. I was definitely surprised too. I mean, most mock drafts that you read by people who are plugged into the league and talk to league sources pegged him as kind of early to mid second round guy. So I was expecting him to be picked around the 40-ish range. So it was really surprising that he fell off the board completely and wasn't picked. The end result, I mean, it's a bummer for Justin that he didn't hear his name called and didn't get that moment last night, of getting drafted that he's been, you know, dreaming about and hoping for. But the end result, getting a two-way contract, I mean, a second round pick, the odds are probably would have got a two-way contract for whatever team would have picked him. This way he can kind of pick his situation. If you want to look at the silver lining, go to the Bulls. There's some connections there. Billy Donovan, the coach of the Bulls, he's tied with Shaka Smart, Marquette's head coach. They work together at Florida. They still keep in touch. I know the Bulls definitely were at Marquette and they talked to the Marquette coaching staff about Justin. So they did the research there. So they're comfortable with him and what he does. So it could be a good situation for him. We'll see how it plays out through the summer league and training camp and all that. He was a guy like PBJ that his physical profile, I thought teams would be just like salivating to take a chance on, just because he's 6'7" and he's got 7'2" wingspan. You know, you see him in person, you say, wow, that's like an NBA player. He's got really thick, strong legs and base, huge hands. I think what teams have questioned about him is with those heavy legs, that he doesn't quite have the foot speed to guard NBA players. He's kind of a tweener on the defensive end, and he's still not quite the complete offensive player yet. He made a huge leap last season as a shooter. Went from like 25% as a freshman on low volume to like 37% on an extremely much higher volume of three-point shots this season at Marquette. I think he's still got room to grow as a shooter. His form is great. Like, it looks good coming off his hand. Good rotation on his shot. So I think that part of his game is going to continue to grow. I think he's really got to focus on just getting that lateral quickness up. So maybe the two-way contract, I think, probably helps with that. He can work on that in the G League, log a lot of time in the G League next season, come up to the NBA when the situation calls for it, when the Bulls need him to you know, fill a roster spot with, because of injury or whatever, suspensions or whatever. So maybe 2 years from now, he'll kind of look back at that and realize he landed in the right spot and things worked out. Now it's the ball's in his court now, so he's gotta make the most of this opportunity.
You know, while we're here, I don't want to waste your Marquette expertise. Last year, I remember really not knowing who I thought Marquette's best player was in the early part of the season. There were a lot of options, you know, under first-year coach Shaka Smart. And then at some point, it was like, oh, it's Justin Lewis. Like, he really rose to the top. What is, what's sort of the early impression of Marquette? It's very hard, I think, to think about college basketball with the number of transfers and movement. It's really hard to get a handle on who's going to be good, you know, months from now, even a few months from now. But what do you think about Marquette? You know, I know you talked to some of the guys that are coming in. What's sort of their prognosis?
Yeah, I think there's a couple guys that are poised to take big leaps next season. They mentioned the transfer portal. Marquette actually kept most of its players. One of the rare teams that did that. They had a lot of young players that played a lot of minutes last year, and most of them stayed. Their only transfer out was Greg Elliott, who had been at Marquette for five years and now is going on his sixth year of college at Pittsburgh. So he was kind of looking for a new situation anyway. That wasn't a surprise move at all. So they kind of kept their core young people in place. So there's a couple breakout candidates. Olivier Maxence Prosper, who's kind of seen as maybe a future NBA player. He's kind of similar in with Justin Lewis. He's got really intriguing physical frame for NBA scouts. He's like 6'9" and athletic and can handle the ball and showed some flashes last season, especially at the end. Shooting got a lot better. Kind of that mismatch guy at a college level that Justin Lewis was last year. So he's definitely a guy that I'm pointing to, and several other people who follow Marquette closely are pointing to, as kind of the breakout candidate next season. Oso Iguodaro, who had flashes last year as a big man, really long arm, 6'9" type of guy, really athletic lob catcher. He's going to play most of the minutes at center, I think. So I think he's probably going to have a big leap in production next season. But yeah, it's just, they're kind of counting on guys making big leaps next year, and we'll see how that goes.
Oh, another Milwaukee guy that I wanted to touch on, Alondis Williams, player of the year in the ACC with Wake Forest from Milwaukee Riverside High School. Started his career in Oklahoma. He had a really nice finish. Thought he might, there was a chance he'd get taken in the second round. Did not work out. But here's another guy who's got sort of it sounds like a two-way contract set up, possibly here with the Nets. So that's a sweet deal and possibly another good landing spot for him. What do you know about Alondis and kind of his NBA potential?
I think you touched on it earlier with the Nets, you know, their ongoing drama, shall we say, with Kyrie Irving. Hey, Alondis might be the starting point guard eventually at the Nets if that thing continues to implode over there in Brooklyn. Really interesting story, like Marjan Beauchamp, kind of like a guy that came out of nowhere after bouncing around a little bit throughout his young life. Played at Milwaukee, didn't quite have the grades to go to Division I right away, so he had to go to JUCO, Triton College in Illinois. Played 2 years there, was really good at the JUCO level, won a national championship there. Went to Oklahoma, and he was an okay player at Oklahoma. Came off the bench, started a few games here and there. They had a couple players, Austin Reeves, who plays for the Lakers now, kind of the main backcourt guy at Oklahoma. So Alondis never quite found the role there. Then with the COVID year, you know, everyone got the extra year of eligibility to play in college, so he used that to his advantage and got recruited by Wake Forest. And just, you know, under Steve Forbes, who's kind of in his second year last year at Wake Forest, so they were kind of a new program looking for guys. They needed roster spots, so he took advantage of the situation and just blew up. Like, had probably one of the most shocking breakout seasons of recent memory in college basketball. ACC player of the year, averaged 17 points a game, had the ball in his hands most of the time, and that's where he kind of garnered attention from NBA scouts as a passer, pick and roll player, which is most of the game in the NBA. Really high level passer, fearless kind of guy, hard worker. Everyone seems to like playing with him. I talked to him a lot at the NBA Combine. It just really just has like an infectious personality. He's got this huge smile. He's just a really fun guy to be around. That's what everyone says about him. So I like him a lot. I was expecting him to be picked in the second round as kind of a project, but a two-way contract, like we mentioned, that's probably the best situation for him. And he'll play in the G League, log some time like Justin Lewis and get better that way. But I really like him a lot. I think, I inherently root for all Milwaukee guys. So like, I know I'm kind of showing my bias that way, but I think I think he's got a chance.
And shout out to number 14 overall pick, Ochai Agbaji. He's a guy who grew up in Kansas, played in Kansas, but born in Milwaukee, and his parents both played at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Erica was a star in the early 90s. Olofu, his father, both of them were Panthers. So that's kind of a cool thing as well. He gets into that back part of the lottery. I think that's I never remember. It's 14 picks, right, is the lottery. So that would be the last of the lottery picks.
Yep.
Cool for him. He had a great career, was most outstanding player in the Final Four, led Kansas to a national title. Dude is already has already had quite a great basketball career. Ben, that's it as far as the draft goes. What's your next project? Since we mentioned that you're dancing all over the map, what do you got lined up, buddy?
Well, we should mention Mike Foster, too, Milwaukee.
Oh, my goodness. I forgot about Michael Foster. There are so many Milwaukeeans.
Signed a deal with the 76ers. He's kind of I kind of figured it looked like he was trending towards getting undrafted. He's kind of a tweener at the NBA level. I think a decade ago, he's more of a banger type of inside player, but still kind of undersized. So 10, 15 years ago, I think he would have been a surefire NBA pick. I don't know how he fits in this new NBA space, pace and space style, but we'll see. He's an athletic guy. Had some moments with he also played with the G League Ignite, like Marshawn Beauchamp. So we'll see how that situation plays out. I'm sure he'll log some time in the G League too.
Yeah, he a couple years at Milwaukee, Washington, and then transferred out to Arizona to finish, I think, Hillcrest Prep is where he played. I believe he has a small role in the movie Hustle, the Adam Sandler movie, in which a million basketball players, including Chris Middleton, actual NBA players, appear. So he's in there as well. But yeah, I thought he's a little bit of a mystery because as Milwaukee basketball fans, you know, knew he was a fast rising star, but then was kind of finishing his career elsewhere. So he is he now has an NBA team as well, and yeah, that is a lot of Milwaukee basketball getting involved in a year in which Milwaukee basketball brought home some hardware for the Golden State Warriors, like we mentioned. So back to my original question, what's next on the docket for you, Ben?
NASCAR coming to Road America next weekend. That's always a interesting kind of, very, very different from my usual job, which is cool. I like doing different kind of stuff, but it's always fun being up there, historic racetrack up in Elkhart Lake. I got a few kind of feature ideas that I'm kind of chipping away at a little bit. I don't want to mention any specifics. I don't want to spoil it just in case anything, jinx it and everything just falls apart. And then I don't want to look silly.
Yep.
More than I usually do. So I got a few things cooking there, and you know, Marquette's always like you always say, JR, you know, always be recruiting. So recruit news is always hanging out there. They're always looking at guys and bringing in guys for visits and watching guys and calling guys. So always keep an eye on that. I usually keep an eye on that in the summertime.
Are there any media pro-am events around those auto racing gigs? Like, you know, you hop in a car with some of the TV guys and race. Do you ever get a chance to do that? Come on.
I wish, but I don't know if the Journal Sentinel insurance can cover that part.
probably not. That's too bad. All right, he is Ben Steele. You can find everything he has at jsonline.com. We mentioned the gamut that he covers, but you'll find him certainly during the Bucks season when he's working alongside Jim Ozarski, and as well, of course, covering the Marquette Golden Eagles. Thank you, Ben. Thank you for stepping in here and chatting about the draft. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the Point Forward Podcast. a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and JSOnline.com production.